This is a podcast that seeks justice. Justice for the lives stolen by those in society that hide amongst us every day. Hidden in our towns, cities, and countrysides, the places that we work, and sometimes in our very own homes. This is Hidden Killers.
Welcome to the podcast. I'm Tony Brusky. Thanks for joining us. Be sure to press subscribe wherever it is that you download podcasts so you don't miss any of our discussions on the cases that we are following for you right here. Get a commercial-free experience through Apple Podcasts as well. You can even try that for 3 days free. We're talking about the Alec Murdaugh case today with licensed psychologist Dr. John Delatorre. A colleague of Alec Murdaugh stated in court that she took Murdaugh's betrayal of trust personally, saying, "I don't think I ever really knew Alec Murdaugh. I don't think anyone really did." Speaking about his financial crimes, this was a woman who knew him since I believe she was 16 years old, worked with him professionally for 20 some years. But obviously, she ended up seeing what happened here. She was, I believe, the CFO of the company at the time, and was shocked to learn about what he was stealing from the company. What kind of a mindset does that take to do these sort of things for so long with people that you know, that you grew up with, and just continue on forward until someone catches you?
I think there's two things that are happening. The first one is that his name is Murdaugh. Right, that his father and his father before him, all right, all of these individuals had their pictures in the courthouse. I think there is a level of power and control that that Alec seems to have. But there's also a sense of desperation, because I also think that he may not have been able to live up to the family name. Because he wasn't able to live up to the family name, there is a sort of desperation in order to keep up outward appearances. So in some ways, he could feel both owed the money and in some ways desperate enough that he needs the money, that it doesn't matter how long he knew these individuals or how important these individuals were to his career. He needed this money because he needed to keep up outward appearances.
It makes you wonder, I mean, growing up in the word dynasty has been thrown around, but in this very influential family in the area for quite some time. Seeing and witnessing all the privilege that his grandfather got, that his father got, and then him being in the position as an adult, probably remembering where his father was at that time. And if he's not feeling that he's either living up to the expectations or feeling entitled to more than maybe what he thought it would be like, does that create a motive to steal the money and really kind of go on some of these just bizarre paths of taking from people like his housekeeper that died in his house, that raised his children? I mean, these seem like very personal connections at times, not just a client, not just a coworker, but people that were literally almost like family to him.
In some ways, those are the individuals that you're most likely to hurt. Right, those individuals that are the closest to you because you have easy access to them. I do think that there is a level of expectation that either the community placed on him or that was placed on him or that, you know, his fathers, right, you know, on, you know, his predecessors had placed upon him to be something that he may not have been capable of being, that maybe he didn't have the same skills and resources that, you know, his father and his grandfather had. He's also living in a different time than his father and his grandfather lived. So I think he may not have been fully prepared for what he was going to be experiencing. And then when things started happening, like this boat accident and stuff like that, when things started happening, he started becoming more desperate. And more desperate means that you're willing to do and engage in behaviors that you never thought yourself capable of doing.
Let me throw this one at you. It's happening in real time. Breaking news, the Colton County Courthouse, where Alec Murdaugh trial is happening in South Carolina, just evacuated because of a bomb threat. Are the Murdaughs behind that one?
I mean, though, I don't know. The only one I think left is Buster, and I'm not entirely sure why he would do that. I did hear that there was a bomb scare, and I do think that they're doing the right thing, taking this seriously. But
sure,
I'm not entirely sure why. What would cause this? And it could be any number of reasons.
I don't know. Anything high profile. I mean, that was more of a joke than anything. Anything high profile. Yeah. People are watching this. And if somebody can feel power by creating some sort of disturbance to something, that large with a simple phone call. These things do happen. I really don't associate that with being anyone in the Murdaugh clan trying to delay this the proceedings. He was confronted about the money at his workplace, and this is the weird connection here. Then within 24 hours, his wife and kids are dead, or kid is dead. Is that motive for murder? I mean, obviously it makes him someone who has extreme character flaws that's able to steal all this money, but it doesn't necessarily mean that you're going to go kill your family later on.
Could it be? I think it could be. I don't know that it is in this scenario, because yes, it is something that if someone has the, you know, they feel the walls closing in and then, you know, all of this stuff is about to be revealed. I do think that it is, that it can, you know, and I do think someone would be willing to engage in an act of violence because of this. But is it enough for him? Is it enough for Alec Murdaugh to do this? I don't know. Given what we know about how the murders unfolded, I don't know that it is enough for Alec himself to engage in this. But just generally speaking, yes, I do absolutely think that all, given the context of everything that's going on, I do think that someone would engage in an act of violence to include murder if all of these things started happening kind of all at the same time.
I know there's some arguments being made that some of these financial crimes, I know the defense did not want these to get in front of the jury, but the judge did ultimately allow them. Obviously, from a defense perspective, the argument would be this is going to be prejudicial to the jury. These are crimes that don't technically have anything to do with the murder, but when we connect these dots, maybe they do. How much does his character and past crimes that we are aware of, that are factually there, weigh in on the jury convicting or not convicting him of murder? Two different things.
Heavy. I think they weigh heavy on the jury. I think the jury needs a story that makes sense for them in order to side with whatever side that they're going to go with. And something like this, I think the defense is right. I do think that it is heavily prejudicial, but I also agree with the prosecution, which is on its own, the murders and Alec don't seem to really jive with one another. But then we have the financial crimes, and then we have, you know, the staged suicide. You know, we have all of this other stuff that shows a level of desperation. And I think because of that, I do think it's going to weigh heavy in favor of the prosecution convicting Alec Murdaugh in this case.
Dr. John Delatorre, always a pleasure. Thank you for your insight into this ever-evolving trial that unfolds for us every single day. It's looking darker and darker for Murdaugh as the days go forward. Be sure to press subscribe wherever you download podcasts so you don't miss any of our episodes, discussions, and breaking updates on the cases that we are following for you. You can even get a commercial-free experience through Apple Podcasts. You can try that for 3 days free. Do check that out. I'm Tony Bruschi. You can follow me on Twitter at TonyBPod. Until next time, for all of us here, thanks for listening.